Amen. Brian and Jen Johnson put out a new album that's coming out this Friday, I think. And is that a song from the album? Yes. So was that one of the three that came, they released? Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, I'm trying to keep up with you guys. It's good. Beautiful. It's a beautiful album. It's like there's an orchestra behind this one and just like awesome. So the first three songs that we got, if you pre-ordered, were good. So what's the name of that album? After All These Years, yes. So that's awesome. Get myself situated here. Gotta get settled. Well, wow. What a week. I actually could preach from Donald Trump's inauguration speech. I must confess, this is probably the first inauguration I've ever watched, and I tried to watch every bit of it that I could. So this is such a positive thing, amazing thing. But a couple things I want to comment from it, and then I'll move on. Some things happened when a person in authority of anything, whatever they're in authority over, when they, like, they set the standard and where they stand and what they release is what gets released over the organization. And it applies to the business world too. It pertains to corporations. It pertains to a lot of things. It especially pertains to churches. It pertains to governments, countries, cities, nations, all of those things. When that key person releases things, what they do, good or bad, sets a standard and sets the course. And there were some things that President Trump did in this inauguration. And I know it wasn't a warm, fuzzy feeling type of inauguration speech. He declared war on some issues he's standing against. But like I've said this before, and I'd even encourage you to join me, I've made a covenant in my heart with this president. As he leads, for better or for worse, just like a marriage, I'm going to stand behind him and pray for him. I'm going to cover him. He has a job that he needs to do that I cannot do, but I can cover him with prayer. We're going to get into some scriptures about that. But there were a couple significant things that he did in this that, I mean, many things, but some things that really, really stuck out to me. And number one, he gave, and this is according to our Constitution, and I don't mind talking about it because our Constitution runs so parallel with our Christian beliefs in the kingdom, like principles. It's actually where they came from. So we get away from those things, but our Constitution is an amazing document. It truly is, in its purity and what it was designed to be and how it was made and how was it amended and how our leaders, our forefathers designed it. He gave back the power of government to the people, which is how we, the people. This was very significant that he did that. So that was a huge, huge part of this. Every phrase, every statement was so big. And then he restores, this was big. He restored again the Bible as being a source of wisdom and inspiration and design by making this statement. The Bible tells us, this is, quote, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. I almost come out of my chair when I hear him talking like a preacher. And I really don't even know of any other Christian candidate to get up that could come into this position and do what he did with the authenticity that he had. Because you're watching the conversion of a man. And this is according to the prophetic word. As he comes into office and he comes into this, he's actually going to become a praying man, a praying person. And the people that he is connected with and associated with are just incredible, solid, inspirational people. I mean, he loves Christians. He loves faith people. He really appreciates that, loves hanging around them. And so he makes this statement about the Bible. I'll just read this particular paragraph. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity, oneness, the unity. That's the church. We must talk about our differences openly, debate things honestly, but we must come to being one in whatever our disagreements were. This would be a good mandate for the church from beginning to end. It's when we get away from this that we have problems. It's not that we always have to agree. It's about this coming together, solidarity, the word for unity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected. We'll always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. Our president just declared that over our nation. He made a declaration and said, we will be protected by God. And by doing that, he invoked God's protection like we've never had it before. That was huge. That was huge. And I hope I can freely talk about this because I'm not Democrat, Republican, like that. That's all so corrupt. I mean, if I was going to identify myself, I would want to say I was a libertarian I'm a patriot. I love our Constitution. I love our country. And a lot of that other stuff has really become bad. But I love this man, and I love him because I've come to love him, and I was as skeptic as anybody I've ever met. As when he first ran, I did not know him. He was just somebody on television. He was just somebody rich. He was just somebody that he had a bunch of points against him from my little world. And I'm like, distasteful, honestly. But I didn't know much. But he was. But what I learned and what I read and watching the transition in his life, I am a total believer. Like I love mostly what God has called him to and what he's been bringing him through all the processes of his life. I'm going to continue there, but I got to read you something. This is so good. It was out of Steve Backlund's book. Let me find this quick. This is so good, you know. It's a devotional, Victorious Mindsets. And in this one, he says, I don't have to be perfect. One of the things that fights in your mind, that you've got to be perfect before you can be used by God, right? Okay, can't have any mistakes, can't have that stuff. Listen, this is just a simple kind of a devotional. The next time you feel like God can't use you, just remember, Abraham was too old. Indeed, he was. Isaac was a daydreamer. I mean, those guys never do anything. They just dream, okay? Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses was had a stuttering problem. That does not work on the stage, the arena of public, you know, whatever. And yet God used him. Gideon was afraid. He's hiding out in the wine press like he's afraid of his enemies. He was, you know, the Lord calls him a valiant warrior. He looks over his shoulder to say, like, who are you talking to, you know, when the angel came to visit him. He knew himself, I'm not acting valiant, like, I'm hiding. I'm running. I'm scared. Rahab was a prostitute. That's a little bit of a ding. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Top that. And we never have a problem reading his Psalms on any given day. Eh? Forgiven, but those are the things he did. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. I mean, he really ran. Sometimes you go, hey, I'm just running from God. No, like he got in a boat and he ran. Take me away. He didn't get very far. He went fishing upside down. Naomi was a widow, which implies her life was over. Like, what can you accomplish, your widow? That's Job went bankrupt. That's one way of putting it. Peter denied Christ 3 times. The disciples fell asleep while praying. They failed, they failed, they failed, they failed. It's all Jesus asked them to do. Pray, watch with me. They all went to sleep. guys, honestly, you don't have to shed any blood. I'm just this one little thing. Could you just pray with me? And would you pray while I'm going through this agony of death? Martha worried about everything, indeed. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. He was. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. So if these guys can qualify, so can some of our late leaders, especially when they're not practicing sin anymore. They're making conversion and transition, and they're growing into their calling. I mean, who would be here if we couldn't be growing into our calling? We're all disqualified, every one of us. And in case you thought you were doing good, Jesus came along, took the whole law, said, oh, no, that's nothing. You just hate your brother and you're a murderer. Huh? How do I stay out of that goo? So, he declares that our nation's under God. That was huge. And then he also declares, I was saying this after reading Lance Wallnau's book. I realized what is the difference. If there's the us and them, the only us and them that I think is a valid us and them is those of us that believe we're under a creator, and those of them that don't, because that's where the watershed mark is. Everything changes after there. So it's not race, it's not color, it's not age, it's not all the things that we tend to separate over. It is about that. Do you believe in a creator or not? The creator or not? And that changes everything. If you don't, then you are a law unto yourself, and you start changing things and adapting and figure out things and evolutionalize into something. Another quote on whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky, they fill their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same Almighty Creator. Our president made that declaration over our nation. It's bigger than big, I'm telling you. He just acknowledged the Creator. I mean, he really did in plain English. That, I'm telling you, it's huge. It's really big. And as he did those things, it changes things. Now, when Mark Taylor had this prophetic word in 2011, and also before him, Kim Clement was having prophetic words about Trump. Trump will come. I'm like, what? I mean, when you listen to these words and realize when Kim Clement gave these words about Trump, you're like, that is like, what? It didn't even fit. Like, what is Trump? Like, let's do a word study on Trump, what Trump means, because he can't be talking about Donald Trump. He's got to be talking about some other, there must be a code for something, you know? And yet all those prophetic words start coming to pass, and Mark Taylor has this prophetic word watching television in 2011. He sees Donald Trump on the stage, and I forget what the setting was, and the Lord speaks to him and says, you're looking at the next president. You're looking at a president. That was what it was. You're looking at a president. And then he gets this download of a word. He thought it was for that election of 2011-2012, and actually wasn't, and he gave him some other words. When all of a sudden Donald Trump comes to win, he put that on the shelf and felt he missed the Lord. Like, have you ever had those moments when you really felt something strong and it didn't happen? You go, huh. I'm like, every time we think we know when, just be careful when you have words. They could be pure gold, but you can ruin the whole thing by adding the slightest little thing to it. Putting a time frame on or time limit or what it looks like. Just let it be what it is. Don't explain it. I love the postman prophetic words where the post, you know, post guy drives by, opens up the lid on your post mailbox, inserts the letter and slams it shut, moves on to the next. Like that's what we want prophetic words to be. Just deliver the message. Don't change it. Don't open it. Study it. Give me an interpretation. Just leave my mail alone. Just deliver it. And he gets this word. And so as Donald Trump began to run early in the campaign, he said he's going to make it. I mean, most of the time through the campaign, it didn't look like he was, but he did. And I kept hanging on to that word. Like, that was when I connected. That's when I started looking. Then Lance Wallnau's book really helped me see the chapters of his life. First chapter where he's a young man and becoming learning how to make money. Chapter two, divorces and kind of a mess. And, you know, he's become wealthy, but he's like trying to figure out what he's going to do with his life. And then chapter three hits. And Melania comes into his life. He makes some changes that are quiet. He still doesn't talk much about. It was the beginning of a real transition. I'll just leave it at that. The more the people, even people that were skeptical, study this man, they're like, he's the real deal. He really carries a love and a burden for our nation like none other. It is incredible when you see behind the scenes and the charitable heart that he has. But folks, he's got to be all business. He's got to be intense. He is fighting for his life. He's fighting for the life of our country. And so here's what, I don't know where Summer's here. We're always looking for a title to my message, but remind me to tell her if she's not here. Seize the day. Seize this moment. And the moment is this, and this was in the prophetic word. For this purpose, the Lord's bringing all these things to pass. For this purpose, for the great harvest, because of our country comes back into what it was called to be, it will affect a great harvest over not just our country, the whole world. Like God's looking at the world. He always had. He's pathetic about that. He cannot help himself. We're hard to love. He keeps loving the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And for that purpose, he is orchestrating and calling. And I mean, this is the end game. This is God's end game. This is the seize the moment thing that you need to see and understand. We are giving an almost, it's almost unbelievable what's happening, actually. It is literally unbelievable to hear a president get inaugurated and say these kind of things. We're always like, they're politics. I don't like politics. I don't like political people, da-da-da. Well, here you got it. He's not one. And we're like, oh, he's like a prickly pear. Like, whoo, he's rough. Did you hear his press secretary come out? Sean Spicer come out? It was on C-SPAN. I don't know if the news covered it. But oh my gosh, he drilled those guys. I mean, they will not get away any longer with spinning the news and giving false report. They're just not going to. And no one's going to be able to take Twitter away from Donald Trump. He's going to respond. He might even be a little too spontaneous for some of our comfort zones. But I'm telling you, you're going to know what he's thinking. And you're going to know when he's thinking. And you say something that's wrong, you better contend. You better be ready to contend for it. You better prove your stuff. We've lived in a culture that all the enemy has to do is just throw something out. Don't have to verify it. Just throw it out. Then throw it out again. Then throw it out again. Do you understand? You have no clue. We do not understand how much we have been inundated with those kind of things. And then we walk around half-cocked with bad information, thinking we know what we're talking about. Now, I'm telling you, I've been preaching this. I'm going to get really intense about it. Stop being lazy. Get educated. Start studying. Stop being lulled to sleep by whatever. Stop getting all pulled into your little world. There's a bigger game plan going on. Wake up. Let's get educated. Read good. Get good information about whatever it is. Find alternative news sources, and they are there. And it's amazing how interesting the news is when you listen without the propaganda. And let them cause a check and balance to each other. But realize, we're responsible. We've gone along with things and we repeat the rhetoric without knowing the facts. It's amazing what they throw out, and it just all they have to do is just throw it out, and you're like, oh, Jeff Sessions, the racist. Oh my God, read the facts about that. I'm listening to a black man say, honestly, people, he's black. He's black as black. He's honestly, this is the greatest, you know, advocate we have for this stuff. He has gone to bat for us. I mean, he's a champion in civil rights, an absolute champion. But all someone needs is throw out an allegation and you're tainted. And then that allegation, never proven, gets repeated over and over. Say no. Get educated. But here's the end game. Is because there's a great harvest. There's an awesome opportunity. And this thing about, I don't do politics. Stop it. Don't function in the political spirit, honestly. But pay attention. It's great. I mean, even Phyllis and I, we're not great about witnessing or connecting with the world, but even the two of us are starting to connect with people over this and having good conversations. And they are fearful and they are worried and they are spinning off things that they hear. And it's a great opportunity to comfort them and speak the truth and put a smile on our face and say, no, it's going to be okay. There's a plan here. It's a good thing. It's a good thing nobody evaluated Jesus Christ based on how his message went and how it was received. Do you understand? He had a rock solid Shazam kabam message that covered everything and everybody. It was a great deal. I'm here from the Father. There's a great plan. Just believe in me. Life's going to get good. And blessed are the. I mean, it was an amazing message. Don't judge. Don't be a racist. Don't be this. Don't be that. Be faithful. Keep covenant. What is the problem? And what did they do to him? So we cannot evaluate the popularity of a message by, you know, the validity of the message by its popularity. And back to that speech, when he gave that, I'm like, oh, I'm excited. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, he truly did it. He declared war. If you don't believe in God, we're at war. And you're allowed to. But boy, they're not. They don't like that. They're not peaceful. They're not okay. Believe what you want. You can go worship a rock. I don't care. But don't bring that worship into my life and tell me what I cannot do. That's where I draw the line. That's where I say, no, I will not be silent. Not allowed to violate kingdom principles, but I will not. We cannot be silent anymore. And the world needs us to speak up. The world needs us to come back with the truth. It's a battle for the truth. And here, the reason is the great harvest. Seize the day. Seize the time. Have good answers. Understand why you believe. Here, I'll just keep saying it till we really make some changes. Till we're really clear, till we take it all to another level, all of us. Understand what you believe and understand why you believe it. That's what Jesus said. Be able to give account for what you believe. It's what the Bible says. Got to be able to give account. There's too many of us just coming to church and go, I'm a Christian. Why? Because I showed up. I sat in a chair. No. If that's your comfort, check out, man. I don't want to take that away from you. I don't want you to be comfortable about that. You need to be sure. You need to understand what you believe. You need to have some conviction. That's your testimony. And you don't have to have been a drug addict for 25 years for it to be a valid testimony. Any testimony is, I came to the point where I knew. I knew there was a God. I knew he loved me. I knew he sent his son. I knew the plan. I saw the picture. And I feel the call. I know what I'm to do. I'm following that, pursuing that. It doesn't just have to stay within the four walls of this church either. Amen. Your calling, every place all of you are, is just as valid. I'm very limited at how I can affect the world. Very limited. My only peace of mind about affecting the whole community and beyond this is that you are. You get access. You have the message. You get to tap in. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all. So this is a first. Always pay attention when the Lord says first, when the writers of the Bible say first. What's that mean? First. When you're starting to give somebody a lecture or tell your kids how, you start with your fingers, right? First of all, what's first mean? Like, that's at the top of the list and there's more coming. They're numbered. So it's not just a one, it's a two, three, four, you know. You're getting the beginning of the outline. First of all, and first, I exhort you, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. It was an excellent teaching a few weeks back by Bill Johnson about this. It really helped me get back on track and stay on track. You must pray for your leaders, whether you like them or not. And I don't always have this testimony, but I did have this testimony, especially the first years of Barack Obama being president. It wasn't here, but out of conviction of obeying scriptures and staying in a good place, I blessed this man. We did right up here, prayed for him almost daily, prayed blessing on him. That is how you allow the Lord to work in their lives. I prayed for dreams. I prayed that he would dream. I prayed the Lord would direct him. I prayed that blessings on his children, on his wife. I prayed for him and his leadership. That is my role. It doesn't matter whether I like them or not. Bill Johnson's testimony, he's definitely done better at all this than I have. You know, he lists the presidents, all the presidents, the Bushes, the Clintons, all of them. Bush too, you know. He said, I prayed for all of them. Because by praying for your leaders, whether you like them or not, you release God to work in their life. And even in the worst case that they have a hardened heart, even them, God can use as chess pieces, and he will freeze and use them for his purposes. But it's still never us judging or condemning. So very tricky for us to be in. We can't just give in and become more hate mail. We're going to get corrected here in a second, just this, by the scriptures, it goes on. So we need to give thanks, and this prayer, this supplication, this intercession, it matters. It releases heaven to work. This is first of all, do this. Whatever else you do, do this first. Do it with conviction. For kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Because if you don't live a peaceful life, life is bad, isn't it, Arlette? She lived through the Second World War. You don't know fear till you hear the sound of an airplane overhead that's been hit, and you don't know where it's going to crash, or the airplane's coming, and they're going to drop bombs. It's not these flyovers by the National Guard that we get. The C-130 is coming and is blowing up things. We want peace for as long as we that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And if we will pray for our leaders, this is what the scripture, this is what the Lord's saying, do this. This is what the apostle's saying, do this. It matters. You release things. And when you become stale and stagnant and non-participating in this in spiritually, things change, things go bad. Back to what's our scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:40? Is that, I'm terrible about remembering the numbers of that scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and if they will repent, turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. They don't have to do anything in that, according to that scripture, but this one thing: draw near to me, get clean, get right, and I'll heal your land. I'll fix it. I will fix it. I will fix it. I remember being in Redding, California. It feels like heaven on earth. And it's just, if you've never gotten to go to Redding, California, I'd encourage you to get a chance to go there somewhere. The whole city has been affected by the gospel. The whole city. There's an atmosphere in the place. I'm talking California. And that feeling wasn't in other cities that we were at, but there it was. And one day, Phyllis and I went for a drive up into the mountains, and we stopped at McDonald's to get coffee, and we come through the drive-thru, and when Phyllis, I think it was Phyllis's coffee, she gets it, it's like lukewarm, like, ugh. So, you know, you've gone through the driveway. So, drive-thru, so around I came again. I showed up, and they're like, you know, and I said, could you heat this up? Me, I'm like, I probably wouldn't have, because I'm stupid that way, but... It's not wrong. It's like, it's good. There's a way to do these things. You know, don't scream at anybody. Just, hey, could you warm this up? It was almost, no problem. And this little girl in there, I'll never forget. She goes, I will fix it. It was like this neat response. Like, what if we all acted that way when someone, hey, there's a problem. I will fix it. I will help you. It just is so different. That's what we're to look like. That's what we're to act like. Like not this defensive, you know, ninja thing fighting life and everybody. This grace and forbearing spirit, it's huge what it'll accomplish. We got the message. Let's put it into action, keep it into action, and apply it to all things in life. Even to enemies. That work? It will. It's powerful. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You want good and acceptable in his sight. Let's pause. You want good and acceptable in his sight. Now, honestly, it doesn't matter that much what somebody in the middle section thinks about you. It doesn't matter that much what someone in the other section thinks about you. What matters is the good and acceptable in his eyes. That's what really matters. Just wait on that too. I'm just going to keep it here. What's that thing we do with meat when you throw some seasoning on it? It's called... Yes, we're marinating. You just need to marinate in this for a moment. Just let it get in. What matters is living a life where you're in this good and acceptable in his eyes. People may be happy with you. They may not be happy with you. It's hard to keep it all the little oranges juggling. It is. You try as hard as you go out today and you try really hard to keep it all happening and keep everybody happy with you. I invite you. That's go for it. At some point. But living a life where you're aware of being good and acceptable in his sight, so important. And this is what is good and acceptable in his sight. Praying and making intercession. This internal spiritual life. Every one of your prayers matter. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have recognition. You don't have to have a lot of Facebook followers. It's about here. It's about this secret place in the Lord. This is what's good and acceptable. And you live a life of that and you stay in this place. Staying away from offense. I mean, wow, it's all around us, isn't it? Keep that off of you. It's impossible to say don't get stung with it because it's, yeah. We live in a swarm of bees that sting, meaning just life. It happens before you know it. It's not about never getting stung. It's about what to do when you are. Once you are, go, uh-oh, I got a boo-boo, you know? It's our little ones coming, kiss this, touch this. That's a great model, I'm telling you. What's the baby flock do when they have a boo-boo? Kiss this, they pick up their foot, they want that part. Stop what you're doing and give this some attention. There's a wound here. There's an affliction here. Be childlike, it's okay. Be childlike. Benny Hinn in this message, didn't he talk about this? Wasn't there a point that he's like, we've got to, you don't get anointing till you become childlike and just really relaxed. And we're trying to get all pumped up and be profound and be smart and, you know, all the things that you tend to do. He's like, how about you be childlike? How about you love me? How about you just make sure this is nice, warm, and fuzzy right in here between me and you? Come to the knowledge of the truth, for there's one God. Oh, it says, who desires, this is good, acceptable in the sight of God, our Father, who desires all men, he just starts defining himself, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle, speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And he goes on to say, I desire, therefore, that the men everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also the wives live in a modest way. And it goes on. Without anger, lift up holy hands. Be in prayer. Offer this up. Change the atmosphere. We need envisioned about this so that it's not just a Sunday school commandment. We need envisioned about the power, the dynamic that gets that comes when we walk in this. So that we change the atmosphere wherever we are, and that we're good and acceptable in the sight of God, and that we become so aware, or become more and more aware of that, so that we are keeping that in a good place, and we walk in a way, as Bill Johnson says, to not disturb the dove that's sitting on your shoulder. How many of you have had a bird, like, you know, pet bird, whatever? We had birds for a while, scared everybody to death. They sit on your shoulder and you walk, you know, you don't want them to dig their claws in. That's one of the reasons you walk gently, you know. But if you have a pet, one of the tropical birds or something, they, you know, come and sit on your shoulder, then you walk differently. You're aware of that. You want the Holy Spirit to abide on you, and you walk differently when you're wanting that to stay with you. You're careful with it. You're careful with what you say. You're careful with what you get all stirred up about. You're careful. Careful. And be careful of the wrath. And this book by Chris Valentin, it's actually a redo of a book that he wrote, How Heaven Invades Earth. Bill Johnson wrote Heaven Invades Earth, and then he's like, How Heaven Invades Earth. Then this book, Heavy Rain, was copyrighted in 2016, which is a redo of that, and some things that were added. And I was reading in this, and I'm like, I want to share some things because this is really, really good. And it's part of getting my head out of the sand and never dealing with things that are out there in one sense. And this is very applicable. It's really good. And he begins writing in this ninth chapter. It's actually about ISIS. And he says, violence is not new. You know, we get this feeling like, oh, this is the worst that's ever happened. And it is horrid. It's bad. But he says, violence is not new. And he's about my age. year younger, too, is close. And he remembers, and I remember when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I remember that. I was too young to have a lot of emotion about it, but I remember that. I remember, and he starts to talk about the Vietnam War. It was horrid. Mafia killings, race riots, and then Robert F. Kennedy also gets assassinated. When you start seeing your leaders get assassinated, whether you like them or not, it doesn't give you warm fuzzy feelings. And you never understand. They're still trying to get to the bottom of some of these things. I do believe, and yeah, I mean, they're still getting to the heart of what happened. There were things at work. Also, in April of 68, Martin Luther King was assassinated, the great civil rights leader. And Chris goes on to say, those days tested the courage of every American as fear pressed against our souls. We looked on with grief of our leaders as our leaders were assassinated. Race riots filled our streets, and our young soldiers' body counts were tallied in the thousands every night on the evening news. All this took place against the backdrop of a threat of Russian nuclear attack. Consequently, American students practiced their air raid drills every month in school. I do not remember those. Wow. That's real. That's live action there. As I mentioned in chapter 7, I still have vivid memories of the air raid sirens blasting its warning in the hallways of my school while I scrambled to get under my desk, my heart beating out of my chest. Chris Valentin, in his testimony, is always prone to fear, so I can imagine he was like really, you know, feeling that emotionally. About once a week, our radios would also blast a warning siren for 60 seconds. That's that 1,000 millihertz, or whatever the name is for it, that is the like right at the dead level of what we hear. You know that sound. If I turn it on, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know that sound, that aggravating. And it always ran for 30 seconds on the TV screen. It had that funny picture on there. Here was the problem. You never knew if it was the real one or if it was the this is a test one. So you wait. I remember this. I remember waiting, you know. I didn't watch a lot of television when I was young. It was broke most of the time, but, you know, there was always one sitting in the house. Yeah. I remember this. This was real. This is the emergency broadcast system. In the event of a real emergency, just to keep you real aware, but life could be over as you know it in any second. Wow. So we've been living in this, and that's just our country. There are a lot of people that have lived worse scenarios. Talks about the Great Depression, Pearl Harbor, all these things. He hits this. The Civil War took 620,000 lives. Revolutionary War. We gained independence from the British at a cost of 50,000 lives. He mentions several things, and he says, there is hope. 2,500 years ago, a famous prophet named Isaiah saw this deep darkness covering the entire earth. His response to this epic despair was profound and powerful. I'm going to get to something really significant in just a few minutes. And I pray this scripture all the time. I have it written out on a sheet, and it's Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. It is not time for us to cower in the corner of adversity. It is time for us to shine. Donald Trump, it's in this speech. It's what he said. It's not up to us to mandate what other countries do. We've got to stop this. This is ridiculous. And push our agendas on them. You have no idea how bad we do that. And the garbage that we push on them. Here, we'll give you money, but you have to start doing this and that. Things that you and I are like, whoa, no. We don't need to be pushing that stuff. We need to get it out of our country, not push it on to everybody else. it's time for us to shine. If we're going to set an example in the world about democracy, here's how we do it. We shine. Let's shine. That's our calling. Shine. That's your... Want to fix things? Shine. Want to give hope? Shine. Shine. Wasn't there a... Who sang it? Newsboys? Shine. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. And I don't... Yeah. Sorry about that. That was cruel and unusual. This is our greatest moments. The lights have been dimmed. The stage is set. Seize the moment. Seize the moment. All you need is your story, your testimony. Get it straight. Get good. I mean, you have to anyways. So get good. Any person right now that's walking in peace, well, one of my delivery guys, you know, if they come often enough, you start to get to know them. And he immediately, you know, bringing something and asking, where do I want this? And he immediately says something about the tensions out in the world. Yeah, you know, we begin to interact. And he's like, you know, says, I'm concerned. I'm worried. I said, it's going to be good. I feel good about it. I was just able to give a just say it. It matters. It's giving hope. It's having the big picture. Because I research and I study and I read like I never have before. Paying attention to things, and I'm getting the facts, and I'm trying to figure out things. Because we hear this and you hear that, and it's disconnected. It's like there are answers. Find them. Find them for everybody. Not so that there's more division, but so that you can speak the truth. So you can kindly comfort. There's a way to comfort. There's a way to get back to what God's doing. It's going to be okay. Yeah, I know it looks ugly right now, but there's hope, and this is what's happened. And this has to be. Characters prepared. The audience is anxious with anticipation. The curtain is about to open. Amen. Here we go. It is the radical Muslims who view most of the world as their enemy and who typically identify themselves as ISIS, ISIL. And he'd begin to talk about how many Muslims are in the world. Then he identifies the radicals. And listen to this. That means, and he says, that means that radical Islamic Muslims only make up about 0.00012. I don't even know how to say that number. That percentage, 0.00012% of the entire Muslim population. Most of them don't want this. They don't want terrorism. Pakistan, I've taught Mark Guggen from Western Ohio. He goes on mission trips to Pakistan. He firsthand information. He said they don't like the terrorists. They're trying to get them out of their country. They're trying to deal with the Pakistani government, and they're serious. I mean, it's intense. If you go there to preach the gospel, you have to have armed guards around you. Because they don't kidnap children. They kidnap any American so they can use you to get money, to ransom you. You don't even have to be special. It's serious. And they hate the terrorists. They want that out. So there's actually a small... That does not seem too serious when you consider that the population of the earth is about 7.4 billion people, and there's this little fraction, actually. Yet the problem actually goes deeper than the relatively small percentage of jihadist Muslims would seem to indicate. Let me explain. According to a poll conducted by Georgetown Islamic Studies professor and a Gallup pollster, more than 1 in 3 Muslims worldwide believe that the 9/11 attacks were somewhat largely or completely justified. Even though they're not radicals, they still believe that it was justified. Even though the number of Muslims who became jihadists is relatively small. I'm going somewhere with this. It's important. A larger percentage of Muslims actually agree with them on some level. This makes the problem quite a bit more complex than it looks on the surface. Now, what I'm going to share with you is not for us to have more attitude about Muslims. But it's important for you to see what's really going on. And he begins to quote the Quran. It contains at least 109 verses that call Muslims to war with non-believers for the sake of Islamic rule. So there are 109 verses that are very radical. And he makes this comment. The Quran doesn't have a New Testament. Have you ever read your Bible? Kind of the commands from the Lord to wipe out groups and people like... it's in there. But then what happened? We got a new covenant. Jesus came. It's important for you to see this. They don't have that. So they're still in their original thing. And he begins to quote, O prophet, strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites and be unyielding to them and abode, and their abode is hell and evil is their destination. Another passage, when we wish to destroy a town, we send our commandment to the people of it who lead easy lives. So we send them the commandment, even if they're living easy lives, to get radical. Get serious about the Quran. So I'm not going to belabor that. It's all here. But here's what I want to get to. In other words, the idea that America, Europe, Russia, or anyone else is provoking the radical Muslims to violence is a myth. It simply is not true. They are responding to their holy book. It's important to understand that. It's not personal. It's religion, you know. We're like, it's quite personal. But it's their value. They do it out of a belief. Why is that very important? That's very important. Because we carry the answer for that. That's why that's important if you understand. This isn't about being against them. It's about understanding we carry the answer about this, but their belief, and when they... Back to what I said, we owe them an encounter. Now, in case you think I'm... Yeah, let me continue. I got to get through this. It's so big. What is the solution to all this? The only way to stop the jihadists' hatred is for them to change their ideology, their core belief system. Jesus warned us about people like them when he said, but an hour is coming, this is John 16:2, an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. That is why they kill. We hear the rhetoric, we're like, whatever, it needs to be stopped, and it does. But it's very important to understand it's out of a belief that they're doing it for God. And in Scripture, John 16:2, the immediate application of this verse involved the radical Jews who had crucified Christ. The radical Jews, did you catch that? They crucified Christ. And later the Romans who killed Christians in the Colosseum. But the jihadists fit perfectly into this category in that they kill people to please Allah, their God. Saul of Tarsus was the equivalent of a first century ISIS. That's what he was. He was a radical. And he may have killed up to 1,000 believers with his group. They were going after them. He was a zealot. He was a radical. Radical, they kill people. And Saul, he was doing this. He was an intense dude. It's no wonder the new believers, when he got saved, were like, when you have Saul of Tarsus walk into the back door, and you know he's knocking off Christians, you're not exactly comfortable with that. Kind of break up a good worship service, I suppose. Don't let me know. I'm playing my guitar and I have my eyes closed. So yeah, just I'll open my eyes and everybody will be gone. Okay. He was leading a sect of Pharisees who were dragging Christian men and women, children, into the city squares and stoning them to death. It is not clear how many deaths he personally was responsible for, but likely it numbered in the thousands. Saul's deadly escapade ended abruptly when he had a supernatural encounter. There's the answer, people. You carry the seed. What you're all about, what's in you, is the supernatural encounter. You carry that because Jesus is the encounterer. Actually, there are a lot of testimonies of these Muslim people encountering the man in white. One guy has a ministry. I mean, it's this simple. He stands outside the mosque when they walk out. He goes, "Have you seen the man in white?" And for the people that say, "Yes, I've seen him," he goes, "Stand over there." And then they keep coming out. "Do you see the man in white?" "No." "Okay." He goes, "Have you seen the man in white?" "Oh, yes, here, go stand over with that group." And when he gets them all, they're all out, and he gets his group over there, then he goes over and says, "Here's who the man in white is. It's Jesus. He came to you." And they get saved. Because that's happening that much. It's reality. It's a real experiencing. Because these people are very sincere. They're very sincere in their faith. They're very sincere in praying. They're very sincere in that. And when they, in the midst of this, the Lord is coming and visiting many of this. So why say, what do we owe them? We owe them an encounter. We need our president to be the president. We need the CIA to be the CIA. We need our military to be the military. And we need to be the church. Yeah. We're in this together, and we all need to do our part. Now, I got to get to this. Whew, this is so big. Chris Fountain quotes a scripture out of Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers. And that word in the Greek is A-R-C-H-E. I'll just say arch for I don't know how it's pronounced. I would like to point out that Paul was not warring with demons. He was struggling against principalities. Principalities are high-level beings in the demonic realm who affect global conditions. I'm telling you, this is profound. That means world changers are struggling with world forces of darkness. I also want to call your attention to the word rulers in this passage because I think understanding it will open up a world of revelation to us and help us defeat the enemy, the evil enemy. The word rulers is the Greek word arch, A-R-C-H-E, which means beginnings, origins, elementary teachings, first preachings, principalities, and rulers. Interestingly enough, Paul uses the same word in his letter to the Philippians. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, or that arch, the two words first preaching in this passage are actually translated from the Greek word arch. They're the same thing. In the same way that Paul taught the Philippians about the origins, the foundations, the beginnings of life, there is a principality named arch, A-R-C-H-E, that is in charge of redefining the foundations of all truth. This is the principality that he's identifying that we're against. Remember, I've been talking about this. Where sexuality is getting redefined. Morality is getting redefined. What do we do? What's a poor pastor to do? We're losing a grip. And they're serious about this. The gay rights movements and the LGBT and all of these groups. And you're fighting this, and it's really easy to enter into battle with them. But we don't fight against flesh and blood. That's illegal. So what do? I mean, I feel I have to fight this off all the time. It's like pushback. You push me, I'm going to push back. You know. So the awakening is good, but we cannot yield to those methods. And understand, this is that principality that's in charge of redefining foundations of all truth. We see the Spirit at work in many arenas throughout the world. For example, Arch is redefining the origins of life so that many people no longer think we are created in the image of God. Instead, they think we are evolved from apes. So here we are. That's why I said, when Donald Trump said, under a creator, when he made that declaration, oh, baby, things clicked. I wish we could have heard spiritually in the heavenlies this big, something in gate. It was Stargate. The Stargate went, clicked into place. And the plasma shows up. It was the big alignment. Clunk. I just felt it through this. I'm really dialed into this message, and I'm hearing this, and I went, whoa, that was big. Like clunk, clunk. I hear these things clunking into place. And so he established that. A standard got set that will raise a standard against that principality. Because he had authority to do that. And the moment he got his authority, he stepped into that position. Forget whatever he was till this moment. I'm telling you, this was phenomenal. He stepped into this thing and bam. This is incredible. This is totally supernatural. I don't care whether you like the man or not. Get over it. This is amazing. You probably won't like anybody that you think is a superhero if you actually live with them for 3 days. Realize what's important. Get some real conviction about this. This is huge. We're in a great place. We can come into confidence. This principality has convinced the world that a human fetus is just tissue. That's the principality that's behind that. When they talk, you can feel the power behind their foolishness, this thing. You go, I don't believe that, but you feel the power. Have you not felt it? The women's rights, and we're not talking about kingdom women's rights. We're talking about that other thing, that feminism movement. That's ugly. I love godly women. I love to see godly women rise up into their places and authority and do things and have a voice. That other thing, like, whoa, that's a whole nother spirit. It's a whole nother thing. It's this principality. It can easily be disposed of. If a woman gives birth to it, then it is a baby. But if she aborts it, then it is fetal tissue. Do you know anything else that is defined by its outcome instead of by its conception? Do you know of anything else that's defined by its outcome rather than its conception? I mean, as soon as a builder starts building a building, what is this? Oh, this is a church. What's that going to be? It's a house. What's that going to be? It's a store. How do you know? Because that's what's on the blueprints. Well, it looks like mud right now. And holes in some, yeah, it's a mess. Cindy Vincent just had having her house built. It's kind of ugly for a while, eh? Hey, we're starting. They come in, you go, oh, I'm not seeing a house. You sure you're building a house? Yeah, we're building a house, man. Promise. I'm sure Cindy was there going, you sure? The Spirit is even teaching people a new way to define the origin of what constitutes gender, even though a person may have, body parts. I'll just leave it at that. I'm still bashful about this stuff. Biologically, be a male. If he feels like a female, then he is that. That's the Spirit defining that. We're like, you're hurting my head, people. How are you? Doesn't it hurt sometimes to try to get your head around it? Like, this is so... I agree. The spirit, this principality arch, has tremendous power to take an irrational concept, convince normal everyday people that it makes perfect sense. Arch is one of the spirits at work in the jihadists that caused them to think that torturing, raping, and murdering people is somehow pleasing to God. And here's what Chris Fallenton encourages us to do on this subject, because this is a real subject. If you see any news, you see this, the terrorists and this thing, and understand what's behind it. There's a lot more to this. But I'll close with this, come to this. Do something. We need to start doing something. We've got to stop this. Hear it, we nod our head. Yep, that's good. Like, do something. Here's the do something. This is good. I'll bet most of you haven't thought of this, but this is good. Number one, adopt a terrorist. Not feeling that. I'm not feeling that. I'm thinking a child in another country that needs fed, and I've adopted one of those. An orphan. Adopt a terrorist. Find out the name of a terrorist from the FBI's most wanted list and begin to pray that the person will have God encounters. This is real. You can do this because you can look at your Bible and go, Paul had, he was a terrorist. He was a radical, and he had a God encounter, and he never persecuted another Christian after that. It was game over. He was done. He was blind. They're leading him around. He never went back. Why? Someone didn't teach him to stop doing that, Paul. This is not working out very good. This is bad. You're making our whole religion look bad. Like, pull up a little bit, hey? That wasn't it. He had an encounter. Pray for a terrorist to have an encounter. Ask the Holy Spirit to give specific things to pray, prophesy over the person while you are in the prayer closet. This is powerful. This is our power. This is our juice. We can send this. We don't have to pay for trips anywhere. We can send this. Number two, pray the truth of God to be released through the Holy Spirit, that the angels reinforce the truth to Muslims. But especially pray for the ulama, the scholars of the Islamic religion, to know the truth that sets them free. Leif Hetland has this incredible, he's now won 1 million people to the Lord, and more than that, because that was an old figure from last year. By loving them. He's seen 1 million of these Muslims come to Jesus. The real deal, he's had some big leaders come to him. Number three, pray for terrorists everywhere to have supernatural encounters, but especially pray for their leaders. One Damascus Road encounter happening to the right leader literally could shift the entire atmosphere away from terrorism. Hating them is not working. Okay? We have the answers. We have the answers. They're right here. They're right here. We got it. We got the answers. Let's pull it out. I'm excited. I think we're going to get ignited. I think we're just going to come awake. We're going to come out of our slumber. I don't care how big we are. We are going to be terrible. We are going to... And engage this baby flock. I mean, they've got juice. Have stuff. You parents that are raising them. Wow. Envision them, direct them a little bit. They've got good stuff. I mean, the way they pray, if you hear you hear about them. We don't publicize it, but I hear and I watch, and I'm like, oh geez, oh my gosh, it's good. It's good. Pray that every terrorist attack be thwarted. You can pray that. You pray. Just engage. Pray that they be thwarted. I'm telling you, and I've been more and more aware of this, that the enemy can thwart plans. Not that we don't figure it out, and we don't undermine things. We just pray. We just pray. We're totally clean. I never have to defile myself. I don't have to get angry. I don't have to hate anybody. I can just send my secret weapon, my you know, not the fiery darts that come from the enemy, but I can send the darts of life that go out and save lives. Ask the Lord to confuse their plans, and we have scripture about that, to bewilder, perplex, and distract them in the midst of their evil deeds. Honestly, people, when they're in that spirit, they'll fight each other. They do. Not that I wish, it's not even about wishing evil on them, it's just about stopping the plans, thwarting their purposes. Two more. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Pray that the Lord would cause the terrorists to turn against one another so that they would not even get along and refuse to retreat one another, to trust one another. Number six, pray for our leaders to have wisdom, for our prophets to have insight into the schemes of the terrorists. Ask God to provide supernatural insights to the Department of Homeland Security. We have a new guy at the Homeland Security. That's huge. The FBI, Secret Service, along with all of our local authorities. We're getting really good people in these positions on top of it. Pray with faith. The Lord's working. This is incredible. We're in this position. And there's some backlash and there's some stuff going on. I get it. I know. Keep your eyes focused. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the prophetic word. Understand, God is giving us a moment for what great harvest. And there's a grace for us to release that. There's a grace for us to see that come. That's what this is really about. Let's not be asleep at this moment. I was talking to another leader this week. He said, yeah, things are getting a lot better. I just hope the church doesn't go to sleep. I'm like, no, we're not going to go to sleep. No, we understand this. The more you understand how serious it was, the more you understand this is our moment. And just all you have to do is be who you are. Just be who you are. Just do what you do. It will affect things. Your smile, your forgiveness, walking in the kingdom stuff, it's powerful. Just be that. Identify your destiny. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. There's a scripture where the Lord tells the people of Israel, just move forward. Don't stop. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Move forward. When we move forward, things open. Things happen. I know I've drugged this on too long, but wow. Wow. Lord, your grace is on us. I just thank you for that. I just thank you for that. I ask that you're by your spirit, you just bring every one of us into alignment with your spirit, that we're at a good place with you. Give you our hearts. We call on you. I ask that every person that has any blockage spiritually, that they get connected, that you get connected. Whosoever believes, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, do that in faith. Get connect. Find Jesus. Look up. Connect with him. Get clear. Get clean. You don't have to clean the fish, man. You just need to be caught. Let the Holy Spirit catch you. Let the whole Holy Spirit draw you. Let him change you. Let him fix what's wrong. Just say yes. Just give to that. You're harboring things that are keeping you separated from the Lord. Cast them off. Lay them down. Offenses. Deal with them like somebody told you got cancer. Like, make sure you do not. Get treatment. Find something just get it. We can't afford to hold those things. Get clear, get clean. Father, I ask that by your grace, you just ignite prayer. Ignite our prayer lives, our daily, as we walk, as we talk, as we go, as we drive, that we start offering up prayers. In this one area today, I just ask that we become very proactive in identifying even terrorists and people that are so fearful, to get a name, to declare your word and your promises and call down, have intervention for our people, for the people all over the world. These acts, let the church arise in this prayer. Let this prayer blanket just come up from the earth, this sound, this fragrance up from the earth that invokes heaven, that angels are released to do what they're longing to do. We carry this authority to release things on the earth. Jesus designed it that way. So let's release, let's do our part. Let's do our part. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you bless this body. And I speak your blessing over every household and every person. We be blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed in coming, blessed in going. I ask for that you'd be the God of all comfort, comfort fears. Just dispel doubts and fears and anxiety that we have come to have confidence because we understand the game plan. I ask that you just open up the doors. Open up the doors, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. 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 Yes. Hang on, let me throw it on the, just so it gets on the recording test.
So I just wanted to check.
Yep, it's on.
Just confirmation as far as what you're saying.
Thank you.
It's something that I've been, just dealing with even in my own personal life as far as my prayers and what I'm saying and what I'm declaring and just praying over these things and that, Lord, I'm praying these things, but I'm not seeing them fulfilled. I'm praying these things and going back to our declarations, my prayers are powerful and effective.
Yeah.
And that declaration comes out of James 5, which if you haven't read James 5, go through, reread that, read it over and over, and it's still something that I'm trying to soak into my own heart.
Cool, James 5, okay, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, into my own life, but James 5, towards the end of verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Amen.
We are made righteous in him. It's not anything that we do. All these different people that keep going over, Rick, and we're not righteous in our own mind, but we're righteous because of Christ. Yeah. And it's the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective.
So, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Good, good, good. Good stuff. Amen. Okay, people. Be awesome this week.